Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you have a Bible with you, open it to chapter 13 of the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 13, beginning in verse 17. We're going to be reading a true and amazing story, one that will be familiar to many of you and perhaps new to some of you. Exodus chapter 13, beginning in verse 17. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter. For God said if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the desert road toward the Red Sea. The Israelites went up out of Egypt armed for battle. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him because Joseph had made the sons of Israel swear on oath. He'd said, "God will surely come to your aid, and then you must carry my bones up with you from this place." After leaving Succoth, they camped at Etham on the edge of the desert. By day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so that they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Tell the Israelites to turn back and encamp near Pi Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea. They are to encamp by the sea, directly opposite Baal Zephon. Pharaoh will think the Israelites are wandering around the land in confusion, hemmed in by the desert. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will pursue them. But I will gain glory for myself through Pharaoh and all his army, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord." So the Israelites did this. When the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their minds about them and said, "What have we done? We've let the Israelites go and have lost their services." So he had his chariot made ready, and he took his army with him. He took 600 of the best chariots, along with all the other chariots of Egypt, with officers over all of them. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, so that he pursued the Israelites who were marching out boldly. The Egyptians, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots and horsemen and troops, pursued the Israelites and overtook them as they camped by the sea near Pi Hahiroth, opposite Baal Zephon. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us out to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians'? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert." Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they will go in after them. And I will gain glory through Pharaoh and all his army, through his chariots and his horsemen. The Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I gain glory through Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen." Then the angel of the Lord, who had been traveling in front of Israel's army, withdrew and went behind them. The pillar of cloud also moved from in front and stood behind them, coming between the armies of Egypt and Israel. Throughout the night, The cloud brought darkness to the one side and light to the other, so neither went near the other all night long. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters were divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground, with a wall of water on their right and on their left. The Egyptians pursued them, and all Pharaoh's horses and chariots and horsemen followed them into the sea. During the last watch of the night, the Lord looked down from the pillar of fire and cloud at the Egyptian army and threw it into confusion. He made the wheels of their chariots come off so that they had difficulty driving. And the Egyptians said, "Let's get away from the Israelites. The Lord is fighting for them against Egypt." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea so that the waters may flow back over the Egyptians and their chariots and horsemen." Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at daybreak the sea went back to its place. The Egyptians were fleeing toward it, and the Lord swept them into the sea. The water flowed back and covered the chariots and horsemen, the entire army of Pharaoh that had followed the Israelites into the sea. Not one of them survived. But the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground, with a wall of water on their right and on their left. That day the Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on the shore. And when the Israelites saw the great power the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him and in Moses his servant. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. I want to ask you a question. Why were the Israelites taking the path that they were taking? What was the reason? Because God led them. And there wasn't really a question about whether it was God or how he was leading them and whether this was the right way, because God manifested his presence in the form of a cloud that was to shade them by day and to provide them with warmth and light at night. So it wasn't like, well, how do we know where to go? Well, you follow the cloud. You follow that miraculous manifestation of God's presence. So the people not only knew where to go, they knew that it was God who was leading them. But the path that God led them on was a strange path. It wasn't the most direct route. The path that God led them on wound around and made it look like that they were lost. It says that God deliberately did this. If you look at chapter 14, verses 3 and 4, God deliberately did this in order to make it look like they were wandering around and didn't know where they were going. So when Pharaoh and his folks are checking out what's going on, they say, "Oh, the Israelites are lost. What silly people. They don't know where to go. They don't know what they're doing." But they weren't lost. They were following God. Let me tell you something. If you are determined to follow God, he will sometimes take you on a path that does not make sense to you or to other people. Sometimes God will ask you to do things in the scriptures and you say, "Why? I don't understand." You just do what he says. The Israelites followed the Lord. And when they followed the Lord, God led them not only on a path that didn't make sense to other people, but he led them on a path that allowed their enemies to catch up with them and brought them right to the brink of a place they couldn't get across. Well, now I really feel stupid. Here I was trying to follow the Lord. It didn't make sense to me, but I knew it was God telling me to do it. And he has now brought me to a place where there's this big body of water and I don't have a boat. How are we going to get across to the other side? It's not just a creek or something. We're talking about the Red Sea. We're talking about a large body of water. We're talking about a place big enough to drown an army. Right? Because that's what's going to happen. God is going to use the Red Sea, which seemed like this terrible problem, God's going to use the Red Sea to rescue his people and to drown his enemies.
You are listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. This program is paid for by the generous donations of listeners like you. You can hear Pastor Wood's teachings 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at pastorwood.org. And when you visit pastorwood.org, we would greatly appreciate it if you would tell us a little bit about yourself and, if possible, also make a donation to this ministry. So please visit pastorwood.org today or give us a call at 866-41-ABIDE.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is
and is holding out his hand. The Israelites find themselves on the shore, and they said, hey, everybody, stay calm. We're going to be fine. We trust the Lord. He got us out of Egypt. We're going to be good. Is that what they said? No. Moses, why did you bring us out here? We told you to leave us alone. We were perfectly happy down on the plantation. Right? That was the message. They said, we didn't want to come. Now we're out here in the middle of the desert and we're all going to die. This is terrible. Oh, poor us. Did you know that sometimes God will lead you into circumstances where it looks terrible? God will lead you into circumstances where it looks terrible, where it seems like this is awful. I did what God told me to do and everything went wrong. That happens sometimes. And then God spoke to me and he said, do this. And I thought, okay, I'll do that. Maybe that'll fix it. And I did that and it got worse. I'm telling you, I've been down that road. I've experienced it firsthand. And it's all through the scriptures. People who suffered hardship when they obeyed God. But you know what? Every single time, it turns out obeying God is the right thing to do. It's always the right thing to do. Because we see what's happening right now, but God sees everything. God knows what's coming next. And so Moses tells the Israelites, stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord. But in his heart, he is crying out to God. Okay? On the outside, he's being very brave. It's all right, everyone, stay calm. Let me tell you something about being a parent. You have to be the one who calms the children. Okay. It's okay, kids. Don't be afraid. Even if on the inside you're going, oh, this is terrible. I mean, it's true. It's true. I remember one time sitting with my family watching on the news, and they showed a map of Ware's Valley, and they showed Lion Springs Road, the road out here that our property goes onto. And there was a tornado headed this way. And they're saying, it's down in Townsend right now, but it's moving up. Looks like the path should be right. And it was right into the ranch. It was like somebody had put up a sign and said, tornado, right here, right here. Okay? I mean, I'm looking at this thing, and I just thought, okay, we may lose our house, we may lose our lives, but we're going to heaven if we die. So we're going to be all right. And I got to watch on the television, live pictures of this radar tracking of the storm, and it came right toward the ranch and went like that. Just made a right-hand turn. Turned south. Almost as if there was an angel standing down there on Lion Spring Road saying, that way, go that way. Okay? I mean, it was so cool. I saw the whole thing on radar. I know the weatherman. I know the weather is controlled by God. Weatherman just reports and projects. God's in control. And let me tell you, these folks thought they were done for. And so they're crying out to Moses, and Moses is saying, stay calm. But then he's crying out to the Lord. How do we know that? Because if you look at verse 15 of chapter 14, the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? So he says, tell the Israelites to move on. Well, excuse me. But that's impossible. How can we move on? There's a there's a huge body of water there. Does God not see what's going on? Does God not understand the problem? Does God not understand my circumstances? God knows everything about your circumstances. God knows everything about what you're going through. God knows exactly what's going on back home with your family, at school, in your neighborhood, everywhere you are. God knows exactly what's going on. And let me tell you something. If you are trusting Him and obeying Him and you're where you are because God put you there, you can say, okay, God, I don't get it, but I'm going to trust you and I'm going to obey. That's what these folks had to learn to do. God was preparing them for other tests to come. And God was about to rescue them. This army that hated them, that was hostile toward them, God was about to wipe them out. But first He says, tell the Israelites to move on. How do we do that? Here's how you do it. You stretch out your staff over the water and stretch out your hand over the water. And I'm going to cause it to part, and you're going to go through on dry ground. That's a miracle. That would take a miracle. Well, of course. But do you think God can't do miracles? He created everything. God created everything. So for God to do a miracle is not like, boy, I hope he has the energy today. How's he doing? God's fine, thanks very much. He doesn't just have a lot of power, he has all power. Nuclear energy is really amazingly powerful, but it was invented by God, not people. Okay? The biggest, strongest storm, earthquake, bomb, whatever. The explosions of the sun, solar flares that send out energy into our solar system, all that stuff, that is just peanuts compared to the power of God. So God says, I'll get you across. Don't worry. And God sent a wind. And the wind blew all that night and caused the water to separate and form two giant walls of water on either side. And the land, God made it dry. That would be really hard because it had been underwater, you know. I mean, like the ground had been, you know, under the water. And I don't know how you'd do that. Well, you wouldn't do that. But God could do that. God can do that easily. If God says, be dry, the elements go, yes, okay. The universe is at His command. And so God pushed back the water with a wind, dried out the ground, and then sent the people across. And the people went across. Now imagine if you're one of the people and you see this miracle happening and God in this cloud is sending light to show you the way. And it's like, that wall of water is much taller than we are. And it's on both. How are we? What if it? Well, why is the water standing up? Because God made it do that. And so if God tells the water to stand up and provide a dry space, don't you think you better do like the water and obey God? You just do what God says. And so they start marching across. And they get most of the way to the other side, and God says, okay, now we're going to let the Egyptians in. And so God raises up the cloud enough so that the Egyptians can now see this path through the Red Sea. And it's like, all right, let's go after them. We don't understand it, but we're going too. So they head out and they're chasing them. And they've got horses and chariots. And the Israelites come up out of the other side. And God says, okay, time's up. And he lets the water come down. And suddenly, as the water is beginning to come in and fill in that space again, the Egyptians are having trouble. And they begin to realize we've got a problem. And one of the big clues for them that they had a problem was God made it so the wheels came off their chariots. I want you to think for a minute how it would be to ride your bicycle if the wheels came off. Okay? That's what happened to them. The wheels came off their chariots. And so now they're scraping along the ground and bouncing like this, and the horses are getting wet and mud's coming up, and they say, let's get out of here. And they turn to flee, and God says, no, you're not going anywhere. Well, Pastor Wood, I feel sort of sorry for the Egyptians, because, I mean, they couldn't help it. They were just following orders. Well, actually, they were following orders from a guy who was a brutal killer, slave master, and liar. He was an enemy of God as well as God's people. Let me tell you something about following orders. You need to know this. No one has the authority to tell you to do something that God says is wrong. And nobody has the authority to tell you you can't do something that God says you should do. So you need to know what God says so that if somebody who thinks they're the boss tries to get you to do bad stuff, you're able to say to them, no, I'm not going to do that because that would not please God. This Egyptian army, they were doing a bad thing chasing the Israelites. They were people who were more concerned about their job than they were about what God says. And the only point where they were ready to turn around and go the other way was when they thought it was to save themselves. If that's the way you live your life, you will lose your life. Jesus promised that. He said, whoever tries to save his life will lose it. But whoever surrenders his life, loses his life for my sake, Jesus says, that person will find life. So I want to ask you as you think about this story, where do you fit? But are you one of the people who says, I'm going to follow God even when it doesn't make sense? I'm going to trust God even when the situation is scary. I'm going to obey God even when it means going through a difficult situation. That's one of the people I want to be. You understand? I want to be one of the folks who says, I'm following him. And I want you to be one of those folks too, who says, God is trustworthy. God may lead me in a path that I don't understand. God may take me places that I didn't want to go. But God will never ask you to do something that's wrong. These folks were rescued because they were willing to trust and obey. God deliberately put them in a situation where they had a choice to make. And he nudged them with that Egyptian army. God could have just brought them to the Red Sea, left the Egyptian army back in Egypt, and said, okay, people, this is a test. Are you willing to trust me and go across the other side? But God said, I'm going to provide them with some encouragement in the form of an army that's chasing them, ready to capture them, killing some and taking others back as slaves. And so they were like, no, I think we'll go. God knows what it takes to get us to do what we need to do. And God very mercifully will sometimes give us a little push to get us to do the right thing. But let me tell you something. When they got to the other side, it says they feared the Lord and they trusted in him. You see, the fear of the Lord that the Bible tells us we need to have is not a fear like, oh, God. It's like, oh, wow, I've never seen such power. That's the fear of the Lord, to stand in awe of him, to be amazed. And I'll tell you this about God. The more you spend time with him, the more you get to know him, the more you will fear him, and the more you will trust him. The Israelites were saved. The Egyptians were destroyed. And people are still talking about it today because God said, watch this. And then he did the impossible. He's still doing that today. And he can do it in your life if you'll trust and obey.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.